Amen. We're turning to the Psalms this evening for our reading, Psalm 65. Psalm 65. It's for the director of music, a psalm of David, a song. Psalm 65, beginning at verse 1. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you, all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome and righteous deeds, God our Saviour, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with corn, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with corn. They shout for joy and sing. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible, do turn back to Psalm 65. And as we turn there, let's pray and ask God to help us as we look at his word together. Father, your hands made us and formed us. Please, would you give us understanding now to learn your commands? Would you, our Creator, help us to see you for who you are, that we might respond in faith and in love, in humility and thankfulness, worshipping you this night and in the week to come. In Jesus' name, amen. It can be very easy, can't it, for you and I to take things for granted. We just took for granted that latest beat of our hearts and the breath that we've just taken in our lungs. And in this day and age we're living in 2023, with all the technology and all the logistics and all the communication, certainly here in the Western world, in the UK, in South Wales, even in Gosainen, we take for granted that most of us are only a few minutes walk or drive away from Sainsbury's and Asda and Aldi, a shop that sells fresh food. Maybe you get a bit annoyed when you go to do your shopping and there's no broccoli left on the shelf, or there's no banana, or whatever it is it might be that you haven't got on your list. And you forget that these things that are in our shops have traveled so many hundreds, even thousands of miles to get to this particular shelf in the local Asda. And as we thought this morning, so many people have been involved in these fruit or veg getting there, and here they are now in our fruit bowl at home. We can forget these things, can't we? We can be complacent. And while we're grateful to have well-stocked shops on our doorstep so much of the time, when there happens to be no broccoli or whatever it is, we realize how much we take for granted what we do have. And here in Psalm 65, we have 13 wonderful verses that are suitable, not only today as we celebrate harvest, but for every day of the year, all the year round, a praise and thanks to the Lord. Whatever the historical setting of this psalm was, we're not really told, but it helps us to worship our mighty and generous God, and to glorify him for who he is, and what he has done, and what he is doing for us. These are verses that show us that we shouldn't take anything for granted. We shouldn't be complacent, but we should be ever praising the Lord God Almighty as the Redeemer, as the Creator, and as the Provider of all. It is a psalm that is full of deep truths for us. And with God's help this evening, I pray that we'll be thrilled to see the abundance of God, the generosity of our Saviour, as He reveals those three aspects of His character to us this evening, that we might praise Him and give Him all of the glory that He is due. So that's where we're going this evening. And so firstly then, in verses 1-4, see there that God is the gracious Redeemer. That's our first point this evening. God is the gracious Redeemer. And the opening words set the tone of this psalm, really. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. From the very beginning of this psalm, you and I are called to come together and to praise the Lord. Zion was where the temple of God was found in the Old Testament. It was where the people of God would come together to worship the Lord and to corporately, one with another, praise Him. And we too are called likewise to do that this evening, to make it a priority to come together to praise our great God. They come to fulfill their vows. That's an expression of gratitude. Gratitude in fulfillment of God's promises and joy at the Lord's kind acts. Nothing is taken for granted. It is God who is to be praised, and it is what we as the people of God are to do together, thanking the Lord for His goodness and His response to answered prayer, because that is how the Lord is described in verse 2. You who answer prayer. To you, all people will come. The Lord does indeed answer prayer. If you're a Christian, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, then you know verse 2 to be true, don't you? That God is a God who answers prayer. It's undeserved by us, by we who come with our petitions to our God, but He is gracious, and He listens, and He answers. And so we come with praise and thanksgiving that He is this gracious Redeemer. This is the only appropriate response to our abundantly generous God because of His unmerited, undeserved favor to us, His people. But notice that verse 3 sees David admit that we have sinned. We're not going to dodge that. We have sinned grievously against the Lord, and our guilt and our rebellion, it can weigh so heavily on us, it can feel overwhelming. But take a look at the incredible grace that is on display in verse 3. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. So the presence of sin is a reality. Transgressions are real. You know that. I know that. You know in your heart this evening that you are a sinner. Even if you try and ignore it and deny it, that's who the Bible says you are. You are a sinner. You know that you've sinned against God. You've transgressed His ways. You've crossed the boundary of sin and gone your own way instead. And the guilt of our sin can overwhelm us. And yet the Lord forgives. Our God is the gracious Redeemer. He has removed our sins and its consequences, and He's dealt so kindly with us. I wonder, have you known the wonderful peace of the forgiveness of your sins this evening? Maybe you feel overwhelmed by your sin tonight. You know the reality of what David is saying here, that sense of it's too much, the weight of your sin. I wonder, have you ever admitted your sinful position before the Lord, recognized your guilt and shame? Will you this evening seek the abundant forgiveness of God that is available to you and I through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I encourage you to do that if you've never done that before, because other translations of verse 3, maybe your Bible says, you atone for our transgressions. It's a wonderful pointer. It's pointing forward to the person and the work of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he made that atonement. He atoned for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening is that though you have sinned and you are a sinner and you could easily be overcome by the guilt and shame of your sin forever, he has dealt with it. He's dealt with your sin once and for all. He's removed the consequences that you may now live in freedom by his dying in your place and bearing your sin and your shame on himself as he hung on the cross. Acknowledging your sins that are too great to deal with on your own, it might leave you floundering if that's as far as you went. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ alone, that he really did die and he really did rise again for you, then you know God as your gracious Redeemer, that he's forgiven your sins, that they have been covered and thrown into the very depths of the sea. And if you've done that this evening, well, then no wonder verse 4 goes on to say, blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. Blessed are those. To be blessed means to enjoy God's special favor, his grace. And if we've been forgiven, if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then of course we can say we are blessed. Of course we can say that. Because by God's free grace, we have in sovereign love been lovingly drawn into a living relationship with him. We enjoy his fellowship. We can come near and live in his courts, which is temple language. It's a way of saying that we can all now draw near. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 verse 9 that we are a royal priesthood. Meaning that unlike in the Old Testament, when only the priests could draw near and enter into the presence of God in the temple, now you and I and every believer in Jesus can draw near. We can come to God by faith and we can enjoy the gracious gifts of spiritual blessings that are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy God's goodness. These opening verses of this psalm, they kind of anticipate what we read in Romans 5 and verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The truth of this psalm this evening is that for all who have their faith in God, for all who have been graciously drawn into this fellowship, into this relationship with the one true living God, we enjoy the wonderful consequences of being accepted in God's sight, knowing peace, not guilt, nor shame, because of the Lord Jesus himself. And through him and what he has done, we have access into his very presence. You and I can enjoy and we can grow in relationship with him, relying on him, experiencing his abundant goodness and kindness as the gracious Redeemer. Brothers and sisters, do you take this for granted? Have we become complacent as we hear of the goodness, of the grace, of the gracious Redeemer God this evening? Do you take the marvelous redemption that is ours in the Lord Jesus, that we have known for ourselves, for granted? That's why we meet often around the Lord's table here. Jesus gave us that we might regularly remember together the cost of that sacrifice, that we, sinners such as us, might be saved. If you're a follower of Jesus today, then you've tasted and you've enjoyed God's special favor and grace. You really are blessed. You are blessed to enjoy God's goodness in his sovereign grace. And so will you come this evening and this week in praise and thanks before our God? Because this is who he is. Our God is the gracious Redeemer. And then secondly, in verses 5 to 8, we see that God is the ruling creator. God is the ruling creator. Verses 5 to 8 do reflect God's majesty and his power. They encourage us to praise the Lord further. We read in verse 5 of how he has revealed his awesome and righteous deeds in delivering them. God is here called God, our Savior. He is the God who has delivered his people time and time again from adversity, from enemies, from famine. And for David, when he wrote this psalm, he knows that the exodus from Egypt, that especially revealed the great power of the Lord's. And his mighty acts are absolutely awesome. A word that gets used a bit much, maybe these days. But of this, there is no doubt that God is righteous in his awesome deeds. That is how God answers his people. He's not a distant deity who has nothing to do with the world he has made, but he answers prayer and he works in history and in the lives of his people in awesome and righteous ways. He is perfect, and so the rule of our God is absolutely just and right. What a wonderful Savior our God is. And he's also the hope of all humanity. Verse 5 says that God, our Savior, is the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. There is nowhere else for us to find hope this evening. Nowhere else we can go other than in God, the ruling Creator. The hope of the gospel expresses itself in these words, that it really is for all. God's rule, it extends to all the earth and to all of his creation, is under his abundantly generous rule. And his rule is seen in the power to create all things. The work of God witnesses to us all that he is. He formed the mountains by his power. Of course, none of us could get in the car this evening and drive up to Penavan and move it somewhere else. Neither could we do the same to Everest, that big tall mountain we thought about this morning. Those mountains, they represent the firmest, the most permanent features that we can find in our world. But God's forming of them, God made those mountains, it shows us his power, doesn't it? And his greatness, because he's armed with strength. He is clothed with divine power, conquering all who will oppose him, protecting his people. And it's not just the land that God rules over, but the sea too. When this psalm was written, the seas were symbolic of chaos, of threatening powers. But the people of God knew that the Lord created everything. And so his rule is firmly established over the roaring seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations, we read there in verse 7. The Lord is the ruling Creator. He made everything. And so that means he rules over it, over all of it. And that includes the nations, those peoples who challenged God, those who thought that they knew better than God, those who challenged his sovereignty and his ruling order. If you read through the history of God's people in the Old Testament, you'll see so clearly demonstrated God's power over the Egyptians and the Canaanites and other surrounding nations. And the reports of the Lord's mighty acts meant, as verse 8 says, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. God's wonders are great and majestic in nature and in history. In his creative power, the Lord's might is unlimited. It's mind-boggling to think that we live in a universe which we don't even really know how big it is. There's so many galaxies and stars within those galaxies that astronomers are able to estimate what they think might be out there. But there's so many galaxies and stars, we just can't number them. So great are God's wonders in the depths of the oceans that we've only explored a small, tiny percentage of all the oceans that are out there. The heights of the mountain ranges that are untouched by humanity. There's the brightness of the colors of the birds and the flowers. And there's the delicate design of all God's creatures, great and small, of you and me. Of those cells that I mentioned this morning that are dying and replacing themselves every few seconds. of the way that the Lord has intricately made you and I, that we're able to do all that we can do, that we're even sitting here this evening, that our brains, believe it or not, are more complex than the biggest supercomputers out there, that our eyes can see, that our ears can hear, that our noses can smell. So great are God's wonders that surely it fills us with awe and wonder to say how great is our God. In all of nature and all of history, God's governing hand has been guiding the path along which humanity has walked. Not that he's responsible for the sins of history. No, each human being is responsible for their sin. But in his overall sovereign control, the Lord has majestically ruled over all history as his great plan of salvation has been carried out. And so surely this evening, we can say that we, as a part of the whole earth, are filled with awe at the wonders of our God. Regardless of who we are or where we're from, we must recognize God's power and his might and respond in awe, for his rule extends from east to west. We're told here from where morning dawns and where evening fades. So great will be the sound of rejoicing that instead of taunts and rebellion and mocking songs, there will be joy that will resound. There will be praise unto God, the ruling creator, from across the whole earth, from east to west. Which, of course, we know to be true as the deeper fulfillment of this was brought to light in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the commissioning of the first disciples to go and to preach the gospel throughout the whole world. Jesus Christ, he is the only hope for this world and over the turmoil and confusion of the nations. He rules and he reigns, and from east to west, his name is to be praised. And so the nations of the earth need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can sing songs of joy to the Lord, the ruling creator. Brothers and sisters, have we taken this for granted? Do you take for granted that God is the ruling creator of the world this evening? Do you sometimes slip, subtly, but slip nonetheless, into thinking that you control your life and you control your future? And actually, in fact, it is God who is the ruling creator of all things. And that includes you. Maybe you really need to be reminded of this tonight, with all of the uncertainties in economics and politics of our world, of the rising costs of things that seem to just keep going up, of political arguing that goes on our news seemingly every day, of ongoing war in Europe, in Ukraine, in worries about the future of those things going on as we prayed for in Libya and in Morocco and in those earthquakes in Turkey and Syria that aren't on our news, but those things are still happening and there is still so much uncertainty. And of course, the uncertainties in your own life, in your home, or in your work, those family concerns that you have, those unknowns in your own future. And over it all, God is the ruling creator. Do you believe that this evening? Or do you forget that Jesus really is the only hope for a lost and dying world? Not new economic policies, whatever we're presented with by political parties in the coming months. Not defense treaties or new leaders. But that the nations of this world will only be able to sing with songs of joy when they know God as their Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth. May we be filled with awe again this evening at our God and his wondrous works in creation, yes, but also, as we've already considered, in salvation too. May we trust him more. May we be full of songs of joy that we know that God is our Savior through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we be given this wider perspective again this evening, praying for the nations of the world that they too, by God's grace, might sing joyfully to the Lord in awe at his wonders. So then, God is the gracious Redeemer. He's the ruling creator. And then thirdly, in verses 9 to 13, he is the provider of all we need. God is the provider of all we need. And the closing verses of this psalm, they do sound quite harvest-like, don't they? They fit our celebrations of harvest well today. They speak of how it is the Lord who cares for the land and waters it with rain, how he enriches it. He provides the people with corn. He sends showers and blesses the crops. It's incredible, isn't it? More often than not, we'll have a little moaning word on a day like today, maybe, when we have quite a bit of rain, and I understand that lots of grey days do get some people down, particularly if we struggle with those seasonal changes. But here we're reminded that it's God who sends the rain. We need the rain to bless the earth. The Lord provides us with what we need. So if it never rained, we'd never have any food. It just wouldn't grow, would it, if he didn't ordain it? And that's really important. There at the end of verse 9, where this wonderful provision is simply because you have ordained it. The Lord has ordained it. That's so important. The Lord has planned it. He has seen it good to enrich the land, to bless it. The words that we find here, they're so rich. They show us the absolute generosity of the Lord. Phrases like, you enrich the land abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water. You drench its furrows. You crown the year. Your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. You get the idea? You see how lavish God is in his kindness. He is so generous. There is an abundance of blessing. There is always provision with the Lord. The creator of the universe provides the sunshine and the rain in their seasons so that people can plow the earth and plant the seeds and eventually harvest the food. Can you see the emphasis here on God's goodness and his generosity to his people? The rain comes in abundance. The rivers and streams, they overflow and the harvest is plenteous. God is the provider of all that we need. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. There is beauty on display here. There is abundance on display. And so there in verse 13, all of them unite as one voiceless choir, shouting for joy to the God of the universe, the creator of every good and perfect gift. The hills and the valleys, the lands and the grasslands of the wilderness, they all rejoice together with God's people in generosity of God's creation and redemption. This is who God is. He is the provider. He is the creator. He is the redeemer of all. I wonder, friends, do you take this for granted? Everything we have is provided by the gracious hand of our God, because this world is made and sustained by God. And so it means that we should look after it, we should steward it, we are to care for the land because God cares for it too. And so there's no better argument for eating all your veg with your roast dinner than this, because God has made them all. The goodness of God is reason alone not to waste. Don't waste food, don't waste precious resources that we find in this world, because the Lord has given all of them to us. But friends, given the time that we're living in, as I've alluded to this evening, I don't think we've ever had so much access to so much food compared to past generations. And we often forget that God is the provider of all that we need. And so it's not only a good habit, but it's the right and proper thing to do to stop at every meal time and to thank God for his provision, for his kind generosity, to praise him for the food and the drink that we're about to eat, whatever it is. May we be a thankful people. May we never take for granted the loving, sovereign provision of our God each and every day. And maybe you really need to be reminded of this particular aspect of who our God is this evening. Maybe things have been really hard in this last week and they're not looking any easier in this week to come. But this evening, the Lord is encouraging you through his word that he was and he is and he always will be the great provider of all that you need. He knows what you need. He is great in his faithfulness, and he doesn't change. He doesn't fail you. And as we'll sing to close in a moment or two, it's morning by morning new mercies we see. All that we've needed, his hand provides. It's always important to remember that the Lord provides what we need, not necessarily what we want, and not even what we think we need, but what God knows we need. He is our faithful provider, and this psalm has shown us that. He has faithfully provided us with forgiveness of sins, which we've experienced through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's faithful in his rule and in his reign over all of time and space, and he's faithful in his generous provision of all that we need. I wonder this evening, brothers and sisters, do you believe in the faithful provision of our God? Are you ultimately relying on him to provide for you and what you need? Or are you looking within? Are you looking to yourself or to other created things instead of the creator of heaven and earth? Look to the Lord this evening and this week to provide for you that which you need. Speak to him about it. Bring everything to God in prayer until you've got nothing left to bring. Commit yourself and your circumstances to the Lord, and he'll meet you at your point of need. He'll sustain you. He'll provide for you what you need. And as you walk with the Lord this week, knowing him to be your Redeemer and your creator and provider, then you can join in with the chorus at the very end of this psalm, and you too can shout for joy and sing. You can be full of praise in your heart unto the Lord for who he is and all that he has done and is doing for you. Spurgeon has a lovely turn of phrase in summing all this up when he says, all is for the Lord. The world is a hymn to the eternal. Blessed is he who hearing joins in it and makes one singer in the mighty chorus. Creation sings the Father's song as we sung this morning, and we've got every reason to join in the hallelujah this evening as we fill the earth with songs of worship and tell the wonders of creation's King. We know creation's King who provides for our every need, and he's wonderfully redeemed us. We really are a blessed people because we know the gracious favor of God. Praise does indeed await our God because he has provided us with a pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, his own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings, all mine, all yours, with 10,000 beside. Brothers and sisters, this is true for you because our God is a gracious Redeemer. He's a ruling Creator. He's a provider of all that we need. So surely we can shout for joy and we can sing at harvest today and every day of our lives. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for revealing to us who you are here in this psalm. We praise you that you are a good and a gracious King. Help us to rest in who you are. Help us to love you more and trust you more, thanking you for every good gift that you give us. Forgive us for our complacency of heart. Renew our faith in you this evening. And if we're not trusting in you yet, then please don't let us rest until we find our faith in you, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.